Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new addition to the show. You know what it is, Creative Conversations with your boy Blair, but you're my friend, so call me Brock. You can find us on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to rate this show 5 stars. It'll help me boost up in the algorithm so everybody can hear your stories. Tonight, we have a very special guest. This dude here, I got a chance to meet him. He was such a dope soul, super knowledgeable behind the camera. I'm talking about a straight storyteller, not just your regular cinematographer, but also a dope father and dog father. Give it up for my good friend, Daryl G. Humphrey. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? What's going on?
Cooling, man. Cooling. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me, man. How you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling really good, man. I'm blessed, man.
I hear that, man. Well, welcome to the show. You know what I'm saying? We are out here just making sure that we live the dream the best way we can and pay our bills at the same time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All right. Before we get started, do me a quick favor and tell the people just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a cinematographer. I run a small business, Butterline Media, where we handle pretty much advertising content for businesses and brands. As Blair said, I'm a father of a 3-year-old. Also have a 1-year-old Rottweiler, so hopefully that keep me pretty busy. And man, I have some interesting projects, and I feel like I'm pivoting in a great direction for both my dream and my business, both, man. You know, I'm just blessed to be still on the journey, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. And I definitely have had a chance to work with you. We met through the homie Stedman. Yeah. And I forget, what was the first job? Because it wasn't like the H&M ad, like the prop ad that we did. Was that the first time?
That was.
Yeah. We came out. I remember that day got really hot, but we had a whole team. And I remember you pulled out a UV filter. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's about to, you know, block out the sun a little bit so he can get better. And you were like, yep, exactly. We were both pretty much finishing our sentences.
Yep. I remember that.
Yeah, man. So, and ever since then, every time we got to work together through Stedman, we really got a chance to just involve ourselves and engross ourselves in the craft.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, bro. Absolutely,
man. Yeah, man. So, with that being said, I mean, I've seen your work. I've seen the end results. Definitely very much a storyteller, but I know every story has a beginning. So, tell me your beginning involving cinematography, man.
Well, you know, I actually have a background in music, right? So I first picked up a camera to document my journey on becoming a music producer.
Oh, wow.
And I started booking a lot of shoots. People was hiring me, doing different things. And I was like, man, I'm kind of getting a lot more traction over here. So let me just see where it's going to take me, you know?
Yeah.
And I only did photography for like a few years and then just really got pulled into the video world. And now that's where I live, man. I live for video. I love like complex shoots, complex ideas, things like that. It you're constantly put in situations where you, it's a good word, I can't describe this, where you have to be a critical thinker.
Mm-hmm.
To make people's ideas reality, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. I know that sometimes when I have shoots, I always ask them, you know, what their ideas, and so I can be the best person to re-express what you need. So we always go through the process of really sitting down and understanding exactly what they want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then when you're able to really put that down on paper, mood boards, or anything of that nature, you can, and then get on the field or in a studio and really put your skills to the test and then see that look in your client's eyes like, oh my God, I can't believe that was me. Or, you know, you're watching pretty much, in your case, you're watching a movie.
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, that's me moving like that? That's me talking like that? I look so dope. And you're like, yeah, that's all you. I was just the guy with the camera.
Right, man.
Yeah, man. I love it. So, I mean, would you say that your clients' reactions are more of your inspirations to keep it going, or did you have people really kind of push you into this direction outside of your clients who saw your work with their music?
I mean, I've had people like in the field with me who have taught me things and pushed me in the right direction. Also, people who I study as well, who I may not have a personal relationship with, but getting an understanding of their styles and what like projects they've produced and consuming that. And one guy I want to shout out who really helped me out. And this is like my best friend Chris. He had been shooting a lot longer than me, and he taught me when I was first picking up my camera. He was the main go-to person I would go to with all of my questions and how to do this, how to do that. And he answered every single question that I asked, man. So I deeply, deeply appreciate Chris, and I'll say one of my biggest inspirations in the cinematography world is the cinematographer of Dune, which
Dune,
he
okay.
won a Grammy for, not a Grammy, an Oscar. He's not a Grammy.
I was say, okay.
He won Best Cinematographer for Dune. He was a cinematographer for he did The Mandalorian. He did Zero Dark 30. He also did Batman.
Oh,
The most
wow.
recent Batman movie just came out, and that's Greg Frazier. Greg Frazier. He is phenomenal.
All right. I mean, I've seen some of those for sure. I haven't seen Dune yet, but I heard that was like, as far as
Oh, Dune,
videography or the
man.
cinematography, it was crazy.
Man, you gotta do it. I watched that movie. Kid you not. A lot of people don't believe me to think I'm exaggerating, man. I've at least seen that movie probably a good 7 or 8 times. Kid
Oh, sheesh.
Yeah. It's nice.
That's.
It's nice.
I love it, man. I love it. So let me ask this. When it comes to preparing your shoots, I mean, just from a client base, but more or less personal as well, just your creative flow, what does that look like for you?
Well, for me, I'm big on structure and development. And that's a phase where we get to play with our imaginations, depending on what budget the client has at hand, that'll give us the room to really, craft exactly what they want. And that's my favorite part because, man, before I even really had a process, I was just showing up on the scene and shooting,
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it reflects in your work. You see movies and TV shows, man, and in some cases, a pre-production can take years. You know what I'm saying? So that's like the most important part of what I like to describe is like I'm painting a picture with a camera. You know what I'm
Okay.
saying? And you're crafting, and I don't know, man, it's like you're like piecing together like all these different scenes, and you're assembling a timeline that like tells a story. But that can't come into conception without the process, pre-production development. That's where we start. Then, of course, you go into the filming, where we take the plan and put it into action, and then the editing part as well. That's I love color grading. I love like finding the right track and then looking at everything when it's done and getting that client reaction, man. That's so fun.
I
I
love
truly
that.
enjoy that, yo.
No, I feel it, man, because like when you say that it's like painting, I can visualize you and other cinematographers that I've seen, the way you move the camera from freehand to a gimbal to anything that you're using to film, that motion that you guys get from panning left to right to zooming in and out manually if you're shooting with the prime lenses. You definitely have a way to move and find like this rhythm to capture the shot well. So with a rhythm, it's almost like a dance, or like you said, like a stroke of a brush, where it's like I'm a stroke to the left, I'm gonna go to the right, and you're pretty much waltzing to get the best image possible. Oh man, see, we out here, we artists out here. We not just shooting, we dancing, we painting, we doing everything with this camera. Stop playing
Say
with
that. Say that.
us. So, I mean, even though we do have our moments of glory, we also have our moments of challenges. And I know that I faced my fair share when it came to developing my process and really finding my voice behind the camera. Can you dive in a little bit into what some of the challenges you were facing when developing your process and how you overcame them?
Yeah, man. I would say one of my biggest challenges was me stepping out into doing this full time.
Oh, yeah.
Because I won't even say kind of forced, I was forced out into it. At the time, my daughter was 10 months old, and the good old COVID came around and shut everything down. And my daughter's daycare closed. So me and my wife, we had to make a decision on who's gonna leave their job to watch our daughter. And since I was making income from my business, it made sense for me to do it, but I wasn't in no position to really quit because I've never made enough money to cover everything. Because if I did, why would I still be working a job, you know? But I didn't have a choice. So I was stressed out there, and that was very challenging from even a mental perspective, because you're not in the same world as it was before COVID came, right? Everything was closed. So I was like, how am I gonna get clients? And the whole world is shut down, you know? But God worked it all out, man. He did. And my business grew substantially during the pandemic, man. Even the year following, my business has continued to grow. So I would say another thing as well that can be challenging as far as like developing your craft is gear acquisition, right?
Oh man, what so much
So,
money.
you know, and not really coming from a wealthy background, like I can't really call a mom or dad or a rich uncle or something like that, you know, to just invest into my business, you know. So every camera, every drone, computer, like everything I've invested back has been purely out of my pocket. And sometimes, you know, you may be at a level where you just know, like if I had the money, man, I get a red. If I had the money, I get these lights, or I get this computer with the max out specs. And it's like that's fine, but how can you get the best out of what you already own? Because that's what's gonna actually That's what you have to use to get the next thing. So I can sit up here and complain, but about what I'm missing or how much better I would be, you know, with all of this equipment, but I'm going to use what I have now to get that. You know what I'm saying?
No, I feel that because I was in that position as well where. I was looking up so many videos, and this is like back in 2011, 2012. And I remember buying my first camera. It was a Nikon D3000, entry level camera. And I remember just working the mess out of that camera. And at the time, they were like, "You're shooting that with an entry level?" And I'm thinking, like, yeah, I'm just using the camera based on what Chase Jarvis said. And he was like, "The best camera is the one that you own."
Yeah, it's great
And
advice.
I was talking to other photographers, getting some perspective from them, and they basically were told me, they were like, when you get your camera, learn as much as possible and they tell you that, you know, it's not the camera, it's the person behind it. And my theory is after going to full frame, it was more or less, it's not the camera, it's the person. Until you understand the principles, then you can understand the tools and how they work for you as you upgrade.
You
know what I'm saying?
It's so spot on.
So it's like the camera is important later once you kind of get down your style, your feel, the way you want to tell your stories. Now, let me look into another camera. Now, let me understand how this lens works. You know what I mean? I had a saying, you can have a really nice pen, but still have ugly handwriting. You know what I mean? It's like, learn how to write and then get the fancy pen. You know what I mean? Now, when it comes to your work, you're pretty diverse, but give me some of the aspects of like some of your favorite personal work when it comes to, I know you've done interviews, I know you've done ads and different things like that, but when it comes to that, what are some of your favorites that you really touch on, and how different is it to shoot those different types of content?
I would say probably a few of my favorites, with me being having a background in music, for select artists, you know, I have some things I can't shoot, you know. So if the song is right and the message is good and all that good stuff, you know, I will I'll shoot it.
Yeah.
And one of my best friends, The Great Escape. I've been shooting pretty much all of his content this year, and each project has been so complex. You know, we don't shoot our videos like, let's get a bunch of you and your guys around you, jumping up and down, y'all in the street, or y'all hanging out the car. You know what I'm saying? We want to do our concepts are fresh. Mm-hmm. They're what you typically don't see as far as like your typical Atlanta artists, you know what I'm saying? You can imagine what their videos would look like. So just kind of thinking out the box, and pushing like other skills like lighting and like using tube lights, doing like set design, just doing a bunch of different things that just really pushes your skill as a cinematographer.
Sure.
Yep.
No, I feel that, because I know that I find it challenging to set up lighting for cinema versus still work, because you're constantly moving with lighting and cinematography. So I definitely respect those who can do like set design and make sure that lighting is right for constant movement. Because I won't say that lighting on the photo shoot set is easy, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, I'm working with still shots, so I just move basically frame by frame.
Right.
But for cinematography, since you're constantly moving, you're constantly making sure that the, you know, your composition's right, to make sure that your markers are set. To have that lighting on people constantly and moving, it's like, dang, how did you set that up? So I definitely can commend you for even being able to explore that and be able to, I guess, really hone on that skill in regards to setting up your space to shoot.
Yeah, I mean, it's necessary. Like, if someone, and I'm still growing in my role, I still want to build my skill and make it better. But as a cinematographer, like, you're the eyes of the director, you know. Mm-hmm. So they take credit for like what camera are we gonna use, mm-hmm. what lenses are we gonna use, like what angles, and we're hand in hand with the director to really like paint the picture, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the director is like telling them what to paint, but they're the ones that's like conceiving it into reality, you know. And lighting.
No, I get that.
Yeah. Everything in film.
Yeah, if you don't have a light, you don't have an image.
Yeah.
That's like the number one principle in photography before you even get into motion picture. You don't have light, you don't have an image. So it's it's always awesome to be able to balance those skill sets and be, I guess, more than one tool on the field. But it also can be a challenge. And also, with balancing the aspects of your art, you also have to balance the aspect of your home. And you mentioned before, you're a father of a young child, you got a dog. I mean, so there's life outside of your craft. I mean, sure, you want to make sure you put food on the table, but you still have to make sure you make time for home. So tell me like your perspective on being able to balance those things in your life.
And it what I learned throughout this process that works for me is that balance is ever changing. I don't look at balance as, these people in my life or my businesses or my endeavors, like everybody gets an equal part of me. If we did that, people would be getting very little, definitely not enough to get satisfied with. And it's like if I wake up in the morning and I get my daughter ready, she's my priority. I'm not thinking about business when she's at daycare and I'm at home editing or I'm in the field. My main focus is on that, So I feel like being intentional about what space you're in and when you're in it, just have boundaries. Like my friends, they clown me a lot. Because my do not disturb is like always on. It's like 9 out of 10 is always on. And I've made a schedule in my phone that is set to my work hours, it's set to my evening hours, and it's set to my bedtime. So it kicks on and off as I did for my schedule, but only certain people I let through to access me through those times, So that's kind of how like I tame some of the distractions from taking my attention away from what I need to be focusing on.
No, I don't blame you for that. First, that takes a lot of discipline. Secondly, you're using the shit out of your Apple products. I'm not even gonna hold you. Because I know when that update came out, I know I was like, oh, you can set it to where this is literally for work. So you're gonna cut off for work for right now, and then it will come back on later. This is my bedtime. I'm gonna set up the bedtime. I really like that aspect because I even have the bedtime feature on mine. Do I always follow it? No. But I know that when it comes to having messages come through, I really don't get them until the next morning. So I'm not disturbed when I'm trying to get rest or even when working on something, I'm not disturbed. I don't have to worry about looking at my phone. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you say that setting boundaries was pretty much the key aspect or one of the key aspects of your balance with work and home. Do you think that's like your biggest challenge, or do you think that you have something that's even bigger that makes it a little harder to do so?
I think I would say the thing about it, I think the pressure of being an entrepreneur is that a lot of people don't really talk about. It's mentally challenging. It's mentally taxing. So it's you have to have there's power in community. So when people are talking about they're self-made and all this stuff, don't listen to these guys, man. You cannot do this by yourself.
That's true.
I don't know where I would be without just having like a supportive, valuable circle around me. I probably would have gave up by now. Because it's mentally taxing. And when you don't have an outlet or you don't have good support around you, you can crash and burn. You
Nah, for
can.
sure. Nah, I get that. I mean, it does take help. Even, I don't know, when I'm looking at photos or I do a photo and I'm editing and I say my brother's around, I'm like, hey, yo, come here right quick. Can you notice anything? And he's like, nah. And then I do, like I click over the I'm blanking right now. People might think I'll really use Photoshop. I'm really blanking, but that's okay. But basically, I click off to where I take the edit off, and then he's like, oh, snap, when did you edited this? And I'm like, cool. That means I'm doing the right thing. But with him being able to see that, I get that perspective. He would tell me straight up, oh, no, you still want to work on that. Even just shooting people, he kind of just pushed me to be like, you know, you can do better. Just by saying that, it's like, you know, this is good, but you can do better. I'm like, you need that around you, those people who are going to honestly tell you things, who are going to bring those different perspectives to you instead of always just saying, oh, hey, you're doing a good job, or just leaving you alone entirely. Because again, if you have your entrepreneurial spirit come crashing and burning because there's no real balance to, you know, kind of refill that, then yeah, what good are you to yourself and your craft and your fam? Because you know you still got to put food on the table with your creative endeavors as well. So, but it's good that you have community that helps you overcome those challenges, because I mean, I'm not ever going to downplay someone's story by saying that, you know, they had all this help, but at the same time, it's like somebody had to listen to it. Somebody had to buy something. So you had some help, you just didn't have a community as of yet. So, and it's good to be able to develop that. I mean, even when it comes to, like I said, family being involved in your work, I know that there are some people who are just like me who take time to involve your siblings, your children, your significant others into your work to build your craft. So I know I've seen photos of your daughter, and I'm going to assume that you've taken those photos. So when it comes to that, like how involved do you allow your family to be in your craft, and how does that help you?
Well, the interesting thing is that when I'm usually involving like family into my work, I'm usually creating some form of content around it. And it's done from a place of like, which maybe this should change, I don't know, but right now I'm just doing it like this, where whenever I just want to take a picture or do a video without thinking about the results or thinking about what I can get out of it, just picking it up and just enjoying it for what it is. I feel like I get to do that with my family. So if that's my daughter getting dressed up and I'm taking pictures of her, or I'm trying to get pictures of my dog, or if I'm getting like video of like a special event or something like that, essentially just creating memories from like special moments, man. I love that.
I feel that, bro. I mean, I'm definitely, when I got my first camera, I was taking pictures of everyone and everything, and they let me do it. They let me talk about it nonstop, and I appreciate them for that, because I was annoying myself after a while. But going back to what you said, being able to just express yourself without thinking about the pressures of, okay, is this going to look good for the client? How do I really feel about it? What can I really fix to make it perfect? You're just like, let me just pick up my camera and shoot. As entrepreneurs, you miss that sometimes, because we get so engrossed on making sure we get to the next step to get the result that we kind of get lost in the sauce, and we can either hit a like a brick wall, or we can even lose love for our passions, because we're just chasing that one thing which wasn't the true motivator of our creativity. So I like to take time to just shoot as well. I like to take time to just listen to music, just being in a creative mode, in order for me to continue to push forward. Even just surrounding myself with just different types of art outside of photography and videography and different things of that nature. You go to a good art show, oh, you in there. You just get so much inspiration from painters and sculptors, models, different things of that nature. I used to hold this small little group outing called Release Therapy, and I think I only did like three of them. And basically I would just have photographers bring models, and I would pick a location, and we would just go and shoot. That's it. We would just go and just, hey, we brought models, y'all switch off, y'all get to know each other, you see this person shooting this way, you see this person shooting that way, gain perspective from one another, and just come out and shoot. There's no true purpose for this outside of just falling back in love or just continuing the love of the craft in that moment.
Yep.
And so I should do that again. That was really fun. Yep. Now I'm in my head, even on the episode. I'm just like, hey, y'all, remember, I'm just remembering things. But it was definitely, to me, very important that we never lose why we loved our craft in the first place. I think it's so dangerous when we get into that mode because, again, we miss out on so many blessings, not just money, not just opportunity, but just the aspect of just being happy doing what you love to do. That's the biggest blessing in itself, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you developed your craft. You have your inspirations. You know, you have a great tribe that continuously helps you, and then you're able to grow from that. You got to grow into the ATL side of things. And when I say ATL, I mean above the line media. See what I did there? That was fire. So give me some of the backgrounds of your production company, like the origin story, you know what I'm saying?
Well, believe it or not, man, once upon a time, I did not like doing video.
Oh, wow.
And anytime somebody would ask me if I could do it, I'm like, nope. Man, I did a video for my boy. He had a birthday, and I forgot which club it was at, but he wanted like just some B-roll footage of them just turning up. And I was like, all right, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I shot it, and it came out really dope. And then he liked it so much that the artist, he wanted like a music video. And they were like, can you do that? Yeah.
Yeah, like, why not?
So I did it. And it's just me, no gimbal, no, like, I had a Sony A7R2, the camera's mainly for, like, photography.
Right.
It can do 4K, but, you know, the camera worked. And I was handheld with the camera strap around my neck.
Oh, man.
Stretching my arms out, trying to get it as stable as possible, you know. But I made it work, man. I did, and, that led me to, you know, get more knowledgeable about everything, like how to timeline sequence, how to color grade, you know, when to shoot flat, learning about gimbals and all these other things, learning what like lenses I like shooting with and all these things, bro. And I was like, I really like this, so I really need to pursue it as a business.
Yeah.
And hence the conception of Borderline Media.
I feel that. So before we get deep into it, I want to get into the name, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, he's doing ATL something. And then I was like, I think he did that on purpose. He had to represent the city somehow.
Well, it's kind of both. I wanted something creative.
Sure.
I also wanted something that is like it means something. And I feel like the bottom line is it's definitely homage to, you know, where we are. It's also like above the line, like that communicates, you know, just like you're always, like, you're not average, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
I'm always above the line, you know what I'm saying? Plus, like, the name above the line, it just communicates that you're like just always above, like, the standard, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not average, you know? But above the line is actually in advertising terminology and film terminology.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So above the line advertising is pretty much advertising messages that are broadcast to the masses. Right?
Mm.
So when I think about that, it's like people hire us to get results.
Right.
We get an understanding of what their objectives are with their video content, and more often than not, it's always going to get advertised. So they're going to put marketing dollars behind it to get their desired result with the video that we shot.
Right.
So that's kind of, and it's stuff it lives online, so that aligns like directly up with the name.
No, it does. And that's very creative. Like, so you hit so many layers from the terminology and what is used for and what it actually means, the acronym. So you let people know, even though I still represent the city, but at the same time, I know what I'm talking about. And then at the same time, you also placed the emphasis on being above average. So you hit us three times at least with just the name alone. So that makes a lot of sense, and I'm definitely very impressed with that. So that definitely makes me want to hire you now. I'm like, okay, so let me see what my budget is. So let's talk about some of the work you have been involved in with your company. So I know I've seen like ads and interviews and different things of that nature. Tell me some of the like clientele that you've had to the pleasure of working with.
I've worked with quite a few people. BMI, worked with, I've done some stuff for Sheen Magazine. I've worked with Chrisette Michelle, Lil Boosie. If you're from Atlanta, everybody know who the Brown Brothers are. Yeah, I worked with them. Work with the airport, the Cass County. I mean,
The
a
list goes
lot
on.
of yeah, the list is it just goes on, man. But I'm finding myself now. I love to tell stories, feel like I'm pretty good at capturing good footage.
Yeah, you are, for sure.
I definitely want to grow and develop in the area as well. I never want to feel like I've arrived, So I want to get better at storytelling. So I've been focusing on that for in the past few years now, I would say, with my work. So I want to do more so commercials and like documentary style content,
Right. I like the fact that you say you don't want to come off as if you arrived. That speaks volumes to me because we have people out here, even ourselves, we can find ourselves feeling like we're experts because we put 10,000 hours in. So what else can we learn? But we always have to remember there's always something else to grasp. There's always something else to feed into our creativity in order for us to be even better than what we are now. So to say that, I don't want to come off as if I arrived, meaning I don't want to feel like I'm just at my end of my creativity. I just want to continue to grow and keep hitting people in the face with dope content, to keep impressing yourself with your capabilities of creating that dope content. It's inspiring for me. That really hit me. So I definitely appreciate you saying that. That was really dope. So that gives me something to think about for sure, even in my own craft. So, with that, you actually really hit people heavy with your messaging too, outside of just that, because you have your inspirational post on IG as far as like just expressing or explaining rather your OnePlus package, your perception is everything, keeping your integrity, and so on and so forth. You sell your business by teaching people different aspects of how they can be better.
Yeah, man. I started back doing that this year. And one of the main reasons why I do this is to just give people peace of myself, help them understand who I am, what keeps me going, what I believe. You build trust and rapport with people, And without trust, you having a business. Because we don't spend money on businesses that we don't trust.
That's true.
So that's one of the most important ingredients for any successful company that should never be sacrificed.
Right.
Never. So, just giving people value, like at the end of the day, man.
Yeah, that's important. You want to give people value.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and I mean, giving people value makes you valuable. See, I'm trying to get on your level right now with the inspirational
That's
quotes.
true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's
So
true.
I want you to leave this show being like, I was impressed by what he said, because I'm like, yes, I finally did it, because he's been doing it to me ever since I've been looking at his post.
Givers never lack.
Oh, wow, that's
Givers
true.
never lack. So, I'm not the type of person to, have a lot of information that has changed my life, and I'm not gonna pass it along to other people. I'm doing some things in the background, but people ready to get it while they can.
Oh, not get it while they can. Okay.
People gotta get it while they can, because I'll say we may hop into that, but I am working on some things in the background and developing to just give more people even more value regarding the direction that social media is headed,
I feel that. I feel that. So, when it comes to developing, I guess, business models for yourself, it goes without saying that you definitely run your company well, so far, and you're going to continue to keep running it in even greater heights. But give your perspective on actually running a production company, because I know a lot of people will think like, oh, he just has a camera and he's just going to shoot for me and that's it. But I know it goes way deeper than that, because there's so many things behind the scenes you have to be consistent with outside of just showing up and shooting. So kind of give me your perspective on the aspect of running your business.
Say running the business, it's something I've grown to love. It was not always like that, especially when you're just out here and this is how you make 100% of your money. So if things aren't going right, you're gonna feel it. Like you're gonna be squeezed, and that makes you wish that you didn't have to wear all these hats, because being a creative is it's fun. We like to do our main thing. Like if you're an artist, you probably love performing or being in the studio. Or for me, I like being behind the camera, but you actually have to run the business. And if you don't want to run a business and you want to focus on being only a dope creative, there's no way you're gonna grow. There's no way. So, to me, it's about, you're running a production company or in any business at that, you're gonna have seasons. So, usually early in the season, it's the roughest. You may not have the income to pay a staff, So, you may have to do everything by yourself or contract out people if you get. You know, it's in a big enough project, right? But it takes time. And that's okay. That's okay. So we have to be patient through the process to get through the rough parts of business. And I promise you it gets greater later. I
I
promise
found that. You keep hitting us with these dope quotes. It gets greater later. You know what I'm
you
saying? Just something simple. You know what I'm saying?
it
Like, you just keep hitting us, and I'm like,
does.
he just makes me want to work harder. And it's like, I know I don't want to get comfortable, but now I'm super uncomfortable, because it's like, not in a bad way, but it's like, he just makes me want to be great. So I definitely appreciate you for that, man. And you're right, though. Like, running the business is completely different than just being a straight up creative. And sometimes I think, even myself, like, we blur the lines, because there's just a different set of responsibilities that you have to hone. And I think that in regards to making sure that we do hone those skills, you have to kind of feed it. You have to treat it like a muscle. You have to really put in time to understand what your business looks like, what your demographic looks like, what do you have to offer to your demographic. And if you are able to sell yourself in a way, and I mean, people don't want to be sold as a business, but at the same time, I mean, you got to sell yourself to a degree. Yeah. So you have to make people convinced to separate from their money and believe in you, because they're really, a friend of mine told me years ago, shout out to Sincere. He's like, people are paying for your perspective. They're paying to see what things look like to you.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. Yeah. People pay for your perspective. So, I think that when running a business and learning, I mean, I'm still learning about things behind the scenes, even people that I follow on TikTok and all, I just always try to absorb as much as possible. So that way, if somebody asks a question, if I'm putting it into practice now, or I had it set to where I can definitely get into that mode later as far as business goes, I can at least provide that aspect or provide what I've been learning. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I definitely respect that, and I'm glad that you've gotten to a place where you're comfortable enough to know the difference and know how to work both ends.
Yeah.
So
it is quite the challenge.
Oh, it is, man. I'm sure. But I know there are a lot of people who like, man, I'm about to start a business. I'm about to X, Y, and Z. You hear that a lot, but sometimes people don't really know how challenging that is, as you said before. Yeah. So what would be like the number one piece of information that you would give someone who wants to start a production company?
Understand your value. And always do what you got to do to increase it.
Understand your value and always do what you have to do in order to increase it.
Yep.
So I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I got hype.
And I want to say, like, and that doesn't mean like, oh, I got to get the best camera, or it's, you can have a great camera and not have anybody booking you, because people are paying you for what you're able to create. Now, as you grow in business, yes, gear matters. It does. You hear that saying a lot, like, gear doesn't matter. If you're a professional, you should want the best gear.
Right.
You should. You should want to create with what's best for you to create the best thing for your client.
Right.
And I feel like people that are passionate about it, and they know how to, like, know their value, know their worth, and understanding how to build it. This is why Starbucks sells cups of coffee for so much money compared to like a Quick Trip gas station, you know. But it's coffee. It's essentially the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But why do people go to Starbucks, or why do people pay a little bit extra money for Chick-fil-A?
True. You
know? So it's like, that's how I see myself in this field, and that's how I feel like everybody should too. Like, you know your worth. If somebody trying to nickel and dime you, you know all what goes into this thing. I will leave money on the table gladly if somebody's not willing to pay me what I'm worth. I don't gotta be disrespectful, I don't gotta cuss somebody out or call nobody broke or be just acting in an immature manner. You know, if somebody can't afford you, it's okay. You're just not my client.
Right.
It's not the end of the world, you know.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people get to a point where we want that type of quality, but we don't want to pay for it. And I mean, you've stated on your website that it's an investment. You have to invest in yourself. You know, of course, you get out of what you invest in. So if you invest the money, you put in the work, and you want the best, then you're going to receive the best, and then people are going to value you as the best. They're going to see you as the best because you put your best foot forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, speaking of putting your best foot forward, we can only go forward in our journey. So my question for you is, what is next for you? G, what's happening? What's going on?
I'm working on a special project. I've been, me and a friend of mine, we've been putting this thing together for the past well over a year, man.
Oh, wow.
And that'll be done and put together probably over the next month. This is one of my biggest projects that I've directed in DP. Looking forward to that. I have some learning opportunities as well coming up.
Yep.
Where I'm going to be teaching people how to use what they have to batch create content, but also content that's effective, that's going to get results. So I'm actually teaching this stuff for free. I'm having a course here soon. Link in my bio if you're able to join for free while it's free.
Right.
I'm giving it away right now, you know, but in the future, I definitely will be charging for this, you know. But yeah, man, that's I got some other stuff as well, but some things I gotta wait until it becomes 100%, you know what I'm saying?
I get that.
So it's kind of like it's about to come out the pipeline, but it's kind of in the middle, you know. So yeah, man, it's kind of what's coming up next, man. I feel that there's some, not I feel, I know there are some great things on the horizon. Not only for me, but for you as well, bro.
I appreciate that, man. And I received that. And I definitely appreciate you. And I know that things are definitely going to be even better than they already are now. And you're already doing so great, bro. You have ascended from not even having the love for the craft at first and then falling in love with it later, to honing it, to learning the creative side, to learning the business side. And now you're about to leverage this opportunity to teach other people so that way they can service themselves and at the same time build trust into your brand that you got them, whether they pay you or whether they just need to learn. Bro, gee, I can't say it enough. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom and your experience, brother. I really appreciate you.
No, no problem, bro. Thank you, man. Thank you, man. It's it is my pleasure.
Indeed, indeed. And I got you at a good time, because next time, I mean, I don't know, I could have been paying $1 million and I'm like, dang, but it's worth the investment.
I make the time, bro. I make the time, man. I will.
All love, bro. So before we close out, do me a quick favor and let the people know where they can find you, man.
Y'all can find me at every platform, at GFATHER, G Father, producer. That's it. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of that, you know. You can, if you want to see more of my business work or whatnot, you can find that at ATL Forever Media. And my website is atlforever.com.
Yeah. And there you have it. And there you have it. Everybody, thank you again for joining in for another dope episode of Creative Conversations. Again, you can find us on Spotify and also Apple Podcasts under Creative Conversations. Just search me and you see my pretty face come up, and then you'll be able to be inspired by all the dope creatives I have on the show. Thank you again for G for being on. And until next time, people, stay blessed and always stay creative. Peace.